Welcome to Mexico.
This is our first podcast where we are recording internationally. This won't be the last, but no. It's a big deal because I remember last year when the podcast was relatively new and we were dreaming of, wow, wouldn't it be cool to one day podcast from the safari in Africa or, Patagonia one day. And today we are coming to you probably not from the most adventurous of locations. We're in Mexico, which is really fun. There's an RV behind us. We're at a small little campground. We can see the ocean in front of us.
It's right there. We promise. We're not making this up.
Sea of Cortez is beautiful and blue. But yeah, we are officially in Mexico. We've been here for almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah. Hey, if you're new here, I'm Chris.
I'm Sarah.
And this is What No One Tells You. We are a travel podcast, and so we a lot of times have a lot of friends on, and we talk about different places they've traveled or how they do things, but today it's all about us, and because we're selfish.
Lucky you.
Lucky you, and we're going to be talking about Baja California or Mexico Baja, yeah, and so if you haven't been here before, it's beautiful, and we'll get into all the nitty-gritty, but first, before we dive into our experience about crossing into Mexico with our truck, and, being here in Baja for a little bit.
Let me just go ahead and say it for you.
Okay.
Would you please leave us a review? Is that where you're going? I'm a little faster at this part than Chris. Chris will beg you a little more. The best way you can help creators like us is to leave an honest rating over on iTunes, a review with a couple of kind words. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Or rate us on Spotify. Those kind of things really help creators like us and for people to discover our podcast.
Oh, it means the world.
Okay,
and,
Chris.
It means a lot, Sarah, that you would even do this.
All right, we're going to move on now. Okay. All right, so without further ado, let's talk about Mexico.
First, you want to just dive right into the crossing the border experience?
Let's talk about why we're in Mexico, because I feel like some people, I know most people probably follow us on YouTube too, since that's our biggest platform. But if you are newish around here and you aren't really familiar with what we're up to, it's been this multi-year planning process where we've planned to go international and some sort of rig, camper. And we officially started in Mexico 2 weeks ago, crossed over from California into Mexicali, Mexico, which is on the Baja Peninsula. And we are driving the Pan American Highway. And if you don't know what the Pan American Highway is, it is the longest road in the world. So essentially it goes from Alaska all the way down to the tip of Argentina with only a small gap in Panama that you cannot drive. It's like 30 miles. So this is going to be a open-ended trip. It's going to take us a long time to drive this road, but we are on our way.
We are on our way. And so Mexico is the first stop. Mm-hmm. So we started off in San Diego, California. We drove to El Centro, Mexico, which is sort of in
El Centro, California.
El Centro, California, sorry. And which is sort of in the middle of nowhere.
It's a small little border town. Yeah. Very agricultural, but we stayed there. And then the next morning we crossed over. Oh, we should probably tell people if you have not been around since the beginning, which I know many of you have not, we actually did the Alaska portion of the Pan American Highway several years ago. We drove all the way to the Arctic Ocean. That's on YouTube. Those videos are very old and kind of cringy, but they are out there.
But we did it.
We did do it. We did Alaska and Canada and the Northwest Territories, all that. And it was beautiful. And we knew we wanted to do the rest of the Pan American one day. And here we are years later.
Yeah. So crossing into Mexico was actually really simple.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Everybody there at the border crossing was super helpful and honestly pretty nice. And it was fast. Pulling up, we did see a huge line of like semi trucks. And at first we were like, oh no, are we with them? And thankfully we were not. So they all go to their own section and then the cars and the RVs go to another section.
Yeah.
And, it was pretty, they did want to look inside our camper rig, which
spent 1 minute and 37 seconds.
Yeah. We counted the whole thing. And so it was almost like I know he was looking, but I feel like he just kind of wanted to see inside,
We had actually another weird search. I mean, you go through military checkpoints throughout driving through countries a lot of times. Like, that's something that you don't really have in the U.S., but it's pretty common internationally. And another one, they actually inspected us like halfway through the Baja Peninsula, way more thoroughly than they did at the border. But we afterwards were like, I think he was just bored and curious because he was really nice, but he was fascinated with the truck. So yeah, I think he just wanted to see inside.
He was.
But yeah, the border crossing was actually super simple. We were kind of nervous because a lot of people hype it up. And
they do.
For good reason, because I mean, experiences can be very varied.
Yeah. Well, and there's a reason we went through Mexicali instead of crossing over into like Tijuana. I feel like if you're going to cross into the country at some point, don't try to do the biggest port of entry. do something a little smaller. You know, even when we were going to Canada, like by far going to Vancouver was a lot busier than crossing over than from Glacier National Park, you know? Yeah,
but so. Even Tijuana has a reputation for the police being a lot more corrupt. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot more like bribes and ticketing and that kind of thing. So we were told to go through Mexicali, but even in Mexicali, there's two border crossings. There's one in the west and one in the east of the city. And we went to the one in the east because they are most familiar with checking RVs because that's where the trucks go through too. So inspecting vehicles is a lot more common. We're telling you guys all this because I think a lot of people are curious about like, what is that like? Like, how do you figure all this out? And truthfully, a lot of it's word of mouth.
Yeah.
A lot of it's research. A lot of it's looking at apps like iOverlander or reading forums. It is as complicated to figure out sometimes as what you think it would be. But the community is really helpful.
Super helpful. So yeah, crossing into Mexico and Baja in particular is a free state, which means
free zone. I think that's a term they use.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, but essentially that means people from the states can drive their car over without really importing it. Mm-hmm.
You don't need a temporary import permit.
Yeah. You don't need a TIP, which we had to get. And the reason we got a TIP is because we are going to mainland Mexico. So if you are crossing at a different point in Mexico, you will have to import your car. But if you're just going to the Baja section, technically, you don't have to import it because if you just stay in here, you're fine.
Yeah, and a lot of people just do Baja. A lot of people, it's like the Florida of the West Coast. We keep joking because there's a ton of Californians and Canadians who are coming down, like Western Canadians. They'll come down and do Baja, similar to how people in New England and Ontario will come down and do Florida in the winter because it's warm and it's sunny and you're escaping winter.
Yeah. So, and I think, that's the first thing that we noticed about Baja when we crossed over, how many Americans and how many Canadians were here in their RVs or vans or trucks or whatever. A lot of them were doing the Great Migration North, you know, because we're late to Baja. So everybody's like heading north and getting ready for their summer, you know, mm-hmm. springtime.
So Chris, how far did we make it over the border into Mexico before we got our first tacos?
Literally 2 minutes.
Not even a mile.
It was like a mile. Yeah. It was half a mile from the border crossing. And there's this amazing little taco stand. And by far, that was some of the best tacos we've had so far on our trip.
Maybe it was just because we were really hungry. The place had good reviews, but it was just one of those classic Mexico taco stands. It was in the fuel station parking lot. There were street dogs. It was dusty. The people were incredibly nice.
Yeah.
We were the only gringos there. And the tacos were delicious.
Very delicious.
Maybe we were just really hungry and excited.
We may have, but you know what? I enjoyed it.
We made it a mile over the border. We got tacos. And then our first day, we weren't sure how long the border crossing was going to take. How long were we there? It wasn't really that long.
No, we were there maybe 15 minutes.
Maybe half an hour. So when we cross the border, if you're not familiar with what this looks like, for Baja, you don't have to get a temporary import permit for your vehicle, but we are doing mainland, like Chris said. So we had to get our TIP, which means we had to show our registration, our American proof of insurance, and we had to fill out a form. And we actually, our vehicle, since it's registered as an RV, we were given 10 years in the country of Mexico, which is crazy. We're not going to be here 10 years, no. But technically our RV can stay here for 10 years.
But we did have a fellow overlander reach out and they gave us a good tip. So that happens quite a bit for these RVs. And then what people do is they forget to close it out. Mm-hmm. So when you leave the country. And so they'll go back home, not think about it, maybe sell their RV, buy a new RV, try to come back down to Baja. And Mexico is like, where's your other RV? And so you always have to close it out if you leave the country. So make sure you do that.
The reason you get a TIP is they want to make sure that you're not going to sell the vehicle down here mm-hmm. in Mexico. That's like the whole point. So when you leave and you don't close it out and they think it's still down here, they're not going to let you bring another one in.
Yeah.
So just a little tip. We didn't know that. So we will close it out probably when we leave because I don't think we're going to be back here in the next. We don't know.
Yeah,
anyway, you can always get another one.
Yeah.
The other thing that we had to get is called an FMM, and it's something in Spanish, but essentially what it is like Mexico's version of a visa. Now, if you've ever flown into Mexico before, you will get this form on the plane. It's just a little form. It has like your passport number, why you're visiting, your address, where you're staying, and that's pretty much it. It's a very simple form, but this grants us entry into the country for up to 180 days. So this will restart when we leave the country and come back in. So we've got, you know, 6 months here. That's plenty of time for us to see what we're going to see.
How much did we pay?
I think we paid $35 a person, and we've never had to pay it before. No. It's free if you're here for less than a week, but if you're flying in, which most people do to Mexico, and you stay for longer than a week, that fee is actually figured into your flight costs. It's like those taxes and fees. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So that's why we've never been charged. Like, I came into Mexico last year for like 2 weeks and I was like, why didn't we pay? And I read online that the airline actually takes it out for you. So you're not paying in the customs line.
Yeah.
But yeah, that form took all of maybe 2 minutes each. Chris, actually, he was working on the temporary import permit while I went over to the F&M office at the border. And the gentleman in there spoke perfect English. And he's like, do you want me to help you fill out your husband's? And so he took Chris's passport and filled it out for him. And we were done in a matter of just a couple of minutes. And they took credit card and we were in and out. Super simple.
Super easy.
And then, insurance.
Oh, yeah, insurance. So you can get insurance online, but you need to have Mexican insurance when you enter Mexico with your vehicle. And we had a lot of people reach out. They're like, well, I do it online. And that's fine. We didn't do that. We actually stopped at a gas station right before the border.
This is legitimate, by the way. Yeah. This is like 100% legitimate. This is how you do it.
I stopped at a gas station. He sold me insurance. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But that's exactly what happened. You walk in. He's got a big sign. It's like Mexico insurance. You go in and you buy it. And the whole thing with Mexican insurance is that you pay by the day. And so you give them a date and then they extend it. Now, since our car was a 1988 Land Cruiser, it's over 25 years old, and so we're not going to get full coverage. They're not going to cover us on that, but they did give us liability. We haven't had to use it. We can't attest to if it does anything here in Mexico, but hopefully we'll never have to find out.
Hopefully. But we do have it. You're required to have it.
Yeah.
And if you want to extend it for longer, you can totally go online and do it. And I feel like this is information that a lot of people are curious about, because I think there's people who would like to maybe drive their RV to Mexico.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to do the whole Pan American, but they're nervous. You know what surprised me? Hmm. This is why I really want to push this in this episode, is first impression of Baja. We would see a lot of people online, people our age driving Baja or even younger, maybe recently out of college doing the whole van life and Baja thing. I thought that it was going to be 90% people our age and younger. It has been 90 or 95% retirees.
Yeah.
I have been floored at how many retirees have just been down here living that Baja life.
Everybody from the villages has moved over to Baja.
No, but seriously, I think there is so much fear around, for Americans, there's a lot of fear around driving to Mexico or visiting Mexico. And there's all these people down here that are just doing it. So if we have a lot of people in our audience who are adults or retired. And just to let you guys know, like, you will not be the only ones.
No, you won't. And everybody here in Baja especially, they're used to it. They're used to the RVers. They're used to people living off grid or being here. And I think that was really surprising. For me, I thought we were just going to be thrown into like off gridness. You know, we were just going to be in the middle of very remote. Like, but it's really not. I mean, yes, you can go remote. There are places where you can do that. But there are a lot of places that you can stop at with developed campgrounds with other campers and Americans and Canadians and Europeans and whoever. And a lot of locals too. So
to give you an idea, we're staying at this American's house right now. It's a Harvest Host. I can say that we'll be gone by the time we air this, but we're staying at this Harvest Host in La Paz, Mexico. And it's a husband and wife, and they own a home in Oregon and then one in Mexico. And they've opened it up to RVers. And it's a beautiful home, beautiful property. They have full hookups. It's actually free for us to stay here unless we want to plug up for electric. And then we'd pay $10 to plug in, but we don't need that. But it's beautiful, and we are 10 minutes from a Walmart, a Home Depot, and a Sam's Club. So, like, if you're worried about something that's familiar, if you need a resupply, if this is your first international trip, like, no, there's a Costco an hour from here, too.
You're fine.
You're fine.
There's even a McDonald's if you're hankering for a good burger, you know?
But I think it is nerve-wracking, especially when you're first starting out on a big overland expedition, and you're worried, like, do I have everything? A lot of my fears subsided when I looked at the map and I realized, like, okay, if I forget something, there's going to be an AutoZone in most of the small towns. There's going to be a Walmart when we get a weekend. There's going to be a Costco, a Home Depot. If something breaks, we can find what we need.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot of peace of mind, at least to give you that first like leg into the journey.
Yeah. So Baja, I already had this expectation, or I had a weird expectation coming into Baja.
What did you expect?
I expected like being remote, off grid. We were going on this, because I feel like you see a lot of Instagram posts or YouTube videos of Baja and they're like, we survived Baja. And now that I'm down here, I'm like, what did you survive? The beach? Like, because it's beautiful and it's beautiful people. And yeah, you can get remote, but it is not as intense as these people make it out to be. And I'm sure there are parts, just like there are parts in America where it's intense to go rock crawling or whatever. But here, you know, our experience so far, Baja is a very, I get Baja. I get the hype behind Baja. When you are in the little bubble that we're in like the van life or overlanding world or whatever, you see a lot of people come here. And sometimes people can overhype certain destinations, but I understand the hype about Baja, especially in the winter.
Yeah, the appeal of it.
Yes.
I do. I don't think I totally understand the, I don't know. I feel like some social media people, and like Chris said, you can do it as rough off-grid as you want, or you can do it as developed as you want. Baja has definitely become more and more of an RV destination in the last 10 years, but I think there's people out there on social media, especially YouTube, who are making Baja look really rugged and kind of scary and intense. Intense is probably the right word. And that's keeping some people away from Baja. But in reality, when you get here, there are plenty of people in like giant 40-foot long RVs who are doing it with their pool behind car. And, you know, there's like typical motorhomes like behind us. And yeah, it's not just for people with four-wheel drive Sprinter vans or Land Cruisers. Like, you can do it as rough or as calm as you want. And yeah, I think that kind of annoys me that people have made it look really hardcore, because it's not. Like, it's not. I feel like people have made it look, try to make themselves look really cool by doing Baja. But in reality, it's just a beautiful place that can be shared by anyone.
Yeah, and you do have the best of both worlds. You can be off-grid and explore these really rugged areas, or you could be really close to a beautiful city on the beach, have all the comforts of a normal vacation, and not even think about it, you know? It's like you do have the best of both worlds. And it's Baja's really interesting to me, and it's grown. The more we're here, the more it's growing on me.
I love it.
It's been amazing. Like, this La Paz especially has been one of our favorite cities that we have visited in Mexico so far. And it's just like, they have a beautiful running trail. It's right on the beach. They have like
gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous setting. And even Laredo, just up the coast, was a beautiful little small town, and they had a great running trail too. And just like, the people there are so nice, and there's a lot happening in Baja. And I think you could spend a long time here and not see everything.
Yeah. And we haven't even made it to places like Cerritos or Todos Santos or Cabo San Lucas, which I don't think we're gonna spend a lot of time in Cabo, but there, I think that's where most people come when they do Baja. They fly into one of the resorts, and there's so much more to it. Even like La Paz and Loreto, like we were talking about, like, we're in La Paz right now. It's the capital of Baja. So it is a newer city, but there's still a lot of charm about it. But driving from place to place, you pass through all these little small towns, and that is like real Baja to me. Like, yeah. And we haven't spent as much time there because we've really been going from like, you know, beach to beach or campground to campground. And typically the places that we want to see are the places that everybody else wants to see. So they become more developed with the, you know, what, like American kind of things. But, those little towns, like, we stopped in this one driving from Loreto to La Paz the other day, and we had the best fish tacos we've had here.
It's really good.
I mean, we paid, what, $1 a taco? We both ate tacos and a Coke each, and we paid like $6 total. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the best meals we've had here. But everything else in Baja, when you get in the more touristy areas, it's not as cheap as what you'd expect.
No, it's not. And people warned us about that. They're like, hey, it is a little expensive. They're like, it'll get cheaper when you get to the mainland of Mexico. But we kind of expected that. And coming from California, we were already used to the inflated pricing of a lot there. And so we came here, and
fuel is $4 a gallon for diesel right now.
Yeah, around that.
We just figured that up yesterday, $4.10. Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's, you know, kind of,
it's cheaper than California.
Yeah, cheap.
I think diesel's like, what, $3.25 in Tennessee right now, but it's like $5 minimum in California. Yeah. So it's a little cheaper than California.
So diesel's a little like mid-level price or whatever. That's what we're going to pay the most for, is diesel or gas. And then pricing on some of the food, especially if it's more of an American restaurant, is more in line with, I would say, a Midwestern state like pricing. It's still going to be cheaper than the States, but it's a little bit higher for Mexico pricing.
Yeah, but not crazy. I think it's like you said, kind of inexpensive American prices. Like, you're going to pay more if you want to go out to a brunch. Like, we did brunch at this cute little bakery in La Paz on Sunday. So we did Sunday brunch. And we each got an Americano. Chris got chilaquiles. And I got a croissant. And I think we paid total like $18, which wasn't bad by American standards, but it's still going to be pricey by Mexico standards. Because you're going to save the most amount of money when you eat like the locals. So, like, mm-hmm. we went grocery shopping at one of the local Mexican grocery stores, and I think I got groceries for like 4 or 5 days for $29 or $30, which is pretty cheap. Yeah. I mean, I got like avocados and tortillas and like all this, everything that we needed. And I came out, I was like, whoa, that was really inexpensive. Like, you can do it cheap. And that's how we kind of want to do it. And when we like to travel, we like to do things as local as possible. But every now and then when we're in a city like La Paz, we kind of like to treat ourselves and do something that's more familiar, like a hip cafe or something like that, mm-hmm. to kind of mix it up. But yeah, when you eat like the locals, you're going to save the most money.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, Baja, like our first impressions here in Baja have been just wonderful. Like,
oh, gosh, I love it.
We have absolutely loved it, and we can already tell that we want to spend a lot more time here, and we have to be careful because we're not on a schedule, but we also are sort of on a schedule, and we don't want to spend 4 months in Baja when we have so much of the world to see.
So what's Baja famous for? We're sitting here talking about how amazing it is, but like, what makes Baja amazing, and why do people visit, and why should someone visit?
You know, one, Baja is known for their beaches, vacation. So I think a lot of people come down here just to relax. Like Sarah said earlier in the episode, it's sort of like the Florida of California.
Except without humidity.
Yeah, and without the Florida men, you know?
Florida man.
So it really is. I feel like it's sort of like a playground down here. A lot of people come down here to like boondoggy, or is that what it's
boondoggy?
Called?
Boondoggy?
What's it called? What's it? Boondoggy.
What is it now? Dune buggy. Boondoggy.
They come down here and they're like racing the sand. There's a big race down here that everybody's like, oh yeah, we're surviving Baja. We're driving in the sand.
There are some intense races people do. Like
there are.
Baja 1000. It's like 1,000 miles. Or kilometers. I'm not sure which one it is.
Yeah. It's a long way. Race. Yeah. So they have some of that down here. Other than that, I mean, it's a lot of camping. It's a lot of like wells. You can go.
Oh, yeah. The wells.
If you go to the wells, we've heard great things about Mario.
Yeah. So you can do
Mario.
It's like finding Mario down here. I feel like that's a kind of a common name. It's like being named Chris in America.
He's got a restaurant and a well service.
So if you're on the Pacific side of Baja, Baja is interesting because you'll be on the Sea of Cortez on the eastern side, and on the western side of the Baja Peninsula is the Pacific Ocean. They're known for two very different things. And when you're driving down Baja, you kind of like zigzag a couple times. So you hit both coasts as you're driving further south or north. But the eastern side is the Sea of Cortez, and it's famous for warm water. So, like, it's awesome to hang out in the winter because the Pacific's going to be cold, but the waters are really blue and very calm. It's just Sea of Cortez is where we like to swim. Mm-hmm. On the western side is the Pacific, so it's better for surfing, and it's better for whale watching. And mm-hmm. so you can take whale tours. We didn't do this because we did a whale tour in Hawaii recently, and we just didn't really feel like splurging on that again right now. But if you come down here, people say you have to do a whale tour, and the boats here will actually get you like right up close to the whale and you can touch it. I don't know much about how safe that is for you or the whale, but you can do that. I think it's like $60 a person. So that's what Baja is really famous for. And we call it the Florida of California, but I feel like that's almost an insult. And don't get me wrong. We love Florida. Chris has lived in Florida. We've wintered in Florida multiple times. Yeah. We have family there. But Florida is hot and humid, whereas this is much more dry. I mean, there's saguaro cactuses all over. I'm looking at some right here. So it's more of, I heard somebody say it looks like Oman. I've never been to Oman where it's like really deserty and mountainous and that really blue water. But the climate, I love the climate because I don't sweat as much. Mm-hmm. It's dry, but it's warm and it's sunny and it's blue and it's just, it's incredible. It's different than like, you know, Cancun or Tulum, where it is really humid. There's no mosquitoes right now.
Where we're at, there's no mosquitoes.
In Tulum, we got eaten alive.
And look, we love Phoenix. We love Arizona. But after a while, that can be a little daunting because you're landlocked, right?
You mean exhausting?
daunting or exhausting. Like it's Yeah, so like it's just like there's a lot of cactus in here. It's sort of the same landscape a little bit with a lot of cactus, a lot of desert, but then at least you have the ocean right there, so it's not as exhausting.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday actually, cuz after a while we both get kind of fatigued being in the desert, whereas like in Arizona, but then you go to places like San Diego where it's kind of deserty, but then you have the ocean. I'd say that's very similar to here. And geographically, we're not that far from San Diego, so I think that's probably pretty similar to what they look like. But yeah, Baja is awesome so far. The people are really incredibly nice. Something that surprised us is for being a more expensive area of the country, English is not as prominent here. I thought it was going to be more prominent, but it's definitely not, which I personally love because it's forcing us to work on our Spanish. And people are really gracious in helping us figure that out.
Yeah. And most, and yeah, they are.
They're really patient with us as we try to like struggle.
Really patient. And the people that are the patient the most normally speak English, which is always kind of defeating at the end of the conversation. It's like, wait, what? Like,
I walked into a store the other day. I said, hola, ¿cómo está? And the lady like responded in Spanish. And then she goes, do you speak Spanish or English in full English? And I was like, ah. English. So she knew immediately, obviously. But
well, I walked into a restaurant yesterday and I'm like, hola, and he goes, what up, bro? And I'm like, oh gosh.
Hola. We're working on it, actually. So it's improving. I think our Spanish is slowly improving. We're definitely picking up more nouns right now and just like words that we're seeing regularly. So
yeah.
Learning how to order coffee properly.
So before we like jump off here, I want to dive back into driving. How do you like driving here?
I'm kicking butt.
She is. She's at the point now where she's yelling at other drivers, go on.
Okay, so we've driven in Mexico before. This is our third time in Mexico. And last time we were here, we did a 2-week road trip through like the Yucatan area. And Chris did all the driving. I've never driven here, but like we were in this tiny little rental car. I mean, it was just like a
Chevy Spark.
It was so tiny. It was the cheapest thing we could possibly get because that's us. And I was nervous coming over across the border because I've never driven in Mexico. But so far, so good. I'm doing most of the driving because like we've talked about before, I fit behind the wheel better because my legs are shorter and there's just not a lot of leg room there. So I end up driving the stick shift a lot. It's a lot of like moving your legs, you know, with the clutch and stuff. And poor Chris, he sits in the passenger seat and I make him car sick the whole time. But Mexico, I was nervous and it's going well. But drivers here, you just don't hesitate. And I knew that coming in, but I was still nervous.
Yeah. But that's the key. You don't hesitate. Like you make eye contact and you're like, I'm going. And you just go.
I've gotten to the point, like, you'll pull up to four-way stops, but nobody actually stops. It's whoever like rolls up to the starting, to the, whoever gets the line of the stop sign first just keeps going through. Like it's at most a yield sign, but you rarely actually completely stop. In fact, I've had people honk at me if I did completely stop. And so you just have to be very alert constantly. I've actually missed a lot of turns navigating because I'm so aware of like where the stop signs are. Sometimes the stop signs are on the right side of the road or the left side of the road. And then every now and then there's like a tiny little traffic light. It's a lot to take in. Plus you're watching pedestrians and dogs and, but it's going well. I'm learning how to Mexican stop, which I'm going to brand it because you just keep rolling and
just keep on rolling. So good. Yeah. It's been working out well. So if you've ever thought about coming to Baja, we would highly, highly recommend it, especially if you have a camper, if you have a van, if you have a truck, whatever, RV, it's amazing for that. And if you don't, it's still amazing, but I feel like you are going to be a little constricted where you're at because you'll probably fly in somewhere and then you'll be in that central location unless you rent a car. But even then, you're not able to camp and be out off grid, but there's still so much to do.
Yeah. No, we've seen a lot of people rent cars, though.
Yeah, we have. We have. I feel like for you to get a good grasp on the location, like just being able to be in your rig and camp out and in the elements is a really good like testament to it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just cool to see a different side of Mexico because we've only ever done mainland until this trip.
So I do want to touch on this, too. Mexican campers, the locals here, they will come to the campgrounds. You know, you can.
I love it so much.
It's beautiful. Like they have families, like these Mexican families will come. They, for whatever reason, they don't get started till a little later into the day when the sun's about going down. And then
at their earliest. Sometimes they don't roll up to like 10 p.m.
Yeah. And then it's it's dark. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden and this has happened multiple times at multiple campsites, people will break out the boombox and the music just starts blaring and it's a party.
It is a party. But you know, at first I was like, wow, it's really loud. But I love how family oriented Mexican culture is. So Mexican culture is very family oriented. So it's not just, you know, 20 somethings out on the beach having a great time. No. I mean, it's like you've got the little kids running around and playing toys. And you got mom and dad. Yeah. And it's just, it's such a fun culture.
And that's what I mean by a party. Like, it's not like raving music and disco balls.
Well, there is a lot of music.
I mean, yeah, but the music's loud, but it's more like, but there's no dancing or anything typically. Like, it's just like they're hanging out, having dinner, just having family time.
Our first night in Mexico in the camper, we were parked on this beach in San Felipe, which is like 2.5 hours over the border. It was the first time we stopped in. And it was a little campground. I think we paid like $10 a night. And it was mostly locals. There were a couple of different international overlanders there too. But we were parked right between a bunch of like Mexican families. I don't know if they were, you know, where they're from in Mexico, but they were localish. And we had just gotten in bed. It was like 10 p.m. We were exhausted from crossing the border and it had been still and beautiful all day. And all of a sudden, like this massive wind gust, like this windstorm came out of nowhere. I was like, are we okay? Are there tornadoes here? Like it was that bad.
It was fast.
I mean, the camper was rocking and there had been families. They just play their music straight through it. But there were two different families right next to us. Each one had different music playing, blaring. And it was like they were turning it up to compete, but neither one was fazed by the other person's music. They were just having a great time. Doesn't bother them. To me, I'm sensory overload. Well,
and they weren't fazed by the wind either.
No, that's where I was going with it.
They were. I mean, like the wind, I mean, we're not lying. It was probably, what, 30 miles an hour?
Oh, no, it was more than that. I mean, it was like rocking the chair. I think it was like 50 or 60. I mean, it was like gusty
like,
winds.
Hurricane style winds. And these people, these families are just sitting on the picnic table with the music blaring, just Not a thought in their mind, you know.
But I peeked out the bed window at one point, and I looked out, and they had their solo cups, and they were just, like, holding everything down with the music playing, still drinking out of their solo cup. And it was so funny to me. I was like, they're completely unfazed. They're having the time of their lives. Yeah. Like, and I loved it. Like, the kids are still running around. The wind's just crazy. And that was the first moment where you're like, yep, we made it to Mexico.
We made it to Mexico.
I just love how laid back it is.
So we really enjoy talking about the places that we're at. And if you like episodes like this, yeah, we're still going to have a lot of people on. We still have plenty of guests coming on to talk about their travels. And we love that. We love talking with friends. But if you like these episodes where we talk about the place, let us know, because we may sprinkle these in more and more now that we're in our rig and we're traveling full time.
Yeah. All right. This is fun. Talk about Baja. I feel like we're a little all over the place, but this is just our random thoughts from the first 2 weeks down here. 2 weeks. Can you believe it's in 2 weeks?
It's in 2 weeks. And wow. Yeah, we haven't. Yeah, we've got to do a lot while we're here.
Having fun. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks for listening to What No One Tells You with Chris and Sarah. If you have a comment or question that you want answered on the air, be sure to send us a message to hello@chrisandsarah.com, or you can call or text our phone number at 423-825-9572. Thanks for listening.